recording. Got it. All right. So again, good morning. I was sitting with the Lord, and he started giving me this word that was a pretty strong of what I felt. Corrective word. And he said, this is the word for this season. It's the end of the season. I want you to begin to bring some balance and clarity to the kids, to the family. So let's start with this. Last week I shared about preparation and anchoring yourself and being ready so when God moves for you, you have something on the earth realm that attaches to the realm of faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So your faith, show me your faith by your works. I mean, without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. And I begin to really clarify the move of God is proven through you by your actions on earth once you receive a word. I'm going to explain that a little bit. Just a little bit, because I don't want to go into last week's message. You can't say you believe in God for a move, and then your actions on earth, your actions, not your words, your actions don't show that you're preparing for God to make that move. In other words, they couldn't cross the Red Sea till they got to the Red Sea. I've never seen a scripture yet where the action wasn't taken. Even when Jesus told Peter to get out the boat and walk on water with him, he asked for an action. Even if he stumbled within that action, he still took that action. And he did not, even though people talk about the fact that Peter sunk because he feared, the point is for a moment, he walked on water. And that was because he took the action, and none of the other disciples got out the boat, whether he was presumptuous or not. He stepped out there. He even asked, if it be you, bid me come. So he gave God an avenue. Listen to me now. To manifest his promise or his ability or his strength. He gave him an avenue. With that said, God said to me, well, first of all, I got a call last week. And I guess what the person was trying to say was they felt the message was too much about prosperity or about things and not about your personal or spiritual growth. You know, and I thought about that and I was like, well, that's where you take it because that's where your mind is. The truth of the matter is you have a responsibility, and that responsibility is this and this only. The word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. So things have to always be after the kingdom is sought, number one. Number two, in Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 8, it says, seek the kingdom of God and seek wisdom, and all you're getting, get wisdom. And with that, get understanding, and it will come with length of days and wealth and honor. Wisdom of God comes with length of days in one hand and wealth and honor in the other. That's the promise of the Bible. That's the promise of the word. Seek wisdom, and wisdom is all encompassing. That means it covers the length of days and it covers the wealth and honor. It covers that. It's to me close now. That means in seeking one thing, health and prosperity or wealth is included. Length of days is health. Riches and honor. I don't have to tell you what that is. Okay. So the word is all inclusive, and where it speaks to you at the moment is where you are at the moment. You understand that? The word, you can hear a scripture that you've heard a million times. And that first time you heard it, it spoke to you in one area of your life. And now you hear it again today, and it's speaking to a whole different area that seems to have nothing to do with the first area you heard it speak to you, because now God is dealing with you specifically of where you are right now. Let's take this. In the process of growing in the things of God, you can't separate God's word out into categories. God's word is all inclusive. If he says to you, be holy, he means in finances, he means in your life, he means in your conversation, he means in who you take as friends. All of this is a part of your walk and your journey. Here's what we're going to talk about today. And this is the word God gave me for today. Obedience is better. Now, this is important because, listen to me closely, what we're going to read today out the scripture is going to really bring some things around and home in your obedience. This year is the prosperity and obedience. So we're coming down toward rounding out the year here. We're coming around that final turn. And my question is, how did we do in obedience? How did we do in obedience? How did we handle God's call to obedience this year? Because your manifestations are lining up with that. So I know people say, well, I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't fornicate, I don't swear, but they don't obey when God gives them instruction. And they think God is obligated to bless the things that they've deemed, you know, praiseworthy things, minus maybe one simple disobedience to God of a very clear instruction that he's given you for a season. Selah. Think on that a minute. Because I know people on here, everybody on here can look at something and say, you know, I've been believing God for this. And I feel like he hasn't moved. I feel like, yeah, over here, okay, over here. But this one thing, maybe a strong desire, God hasn't moved. I'm one of these people. And God began to say to me, let's do an obedience check. So if you would be so kind, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. It's going to get very real today. This is a check. We're going to go to a check right now. We're going to go to a spot check. We're going to go to a soul check. We're going to go through some things. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, it starts like this. Samuel told Saul, Saul is now this king, remember? The people wanted an earthly king. They wanted to be like the earthly nations. They chose a man over God. They got an earthly king. Stay with me now. Samuel told Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now listen and heed the words of the Lord. So here we go. Ready? First step, listen. Let's heed. Listen and heed. You can listen to me, you can hear me, and not heed what's being said. What is it to heed? To consider, to ponder, to really not just hear it, but just to take it in and meditate on it. Consider it and put it to practice. That's the heed. It goes beyond listening, it moves into action. Hear what I say, do what I say. Where do all my faces go? Hear what I say, do what I say. Very important. So to heed the word of the Lord is not just to listen, it's the action. Yes, I'm going slow with this because I want this foundation to be solid. Show me your faith without works. I will show you my faith by my works. Heard it and I did it. Say it with me. I heard it and I did it. I heard it and I did it. That's the faith God is obligated to respond to. Not just the hearing, but the then I carried it out. But you know, I didn't have the strength to carry that thing all the way up the hill. Okay, well, could you carry it halfway up? Can you carry it up one step? Then do that. Hear it and then do it. And then God's strength and grace comes to meet you to go the rest of the way. But while you're waiting, there is no move. Hear it, do it. So he gave him an instruction. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I'm in verse 2, I have considered and will punish the Amalekites. I mean, what the Amalekites did to Israel. How he himself set himself against, or Amalek, I mean, I said Amalekites, Amalek, while he set himself against them in the way when Israel came out of Egypt. So just quick backstory, God called him out of Egypt. Amalek set himself against God's people. Skip down to verse 4. So Saul assembled men and numbered them at Telaim, 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Judah. Now, and Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid in wait in the valley. And Saul warned the Kittites, get out, go. Get down from amongst these Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you have showed kindness to all of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So the Kittites departed from amongst the Amalekites. Now, quick backstory. We already know what happened. As God was bleeding Israel out of Egypt, Amalek came against them. And so now they did them wrong. God's now saying, now you're going to go up and destroy them. But you have this group amongst them who looked out for Israel, the Kittites. So he said, get away from them because we're coming to destroy them. And we're not going to ask for IDs. We're just coming in and kicking butt. So get out so you don't get confused for them. So God has given some very specific instructions to Saul. And in this instruction, God told him, are you listening to me? To wipe out everything. Animals, everything. Wipe them out. Let's go down to verse 9. Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and oxen and fatted lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but all that was undesirable and worthless, they destroyed utterly. Stop. Do we see what just happened here? They partially obeyed. They obeyed with a twist. They obeyed with provision. And their provision was, there's good stuff here. Church, there's good stuff here. We went here and God said to burn the place down, but they got rollies and they got, you know, luxury cars parked in the lot and we need to take some of that. That's good stuff. But God said, no, 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 no. I want that destroyed. I don't even want that on you. Let me make it simpler, children. God said in that relationship, but there's good things. But they, you know, they're nice to be with, and you know, I mean, they do watch my kids, you know, when I want. God said end it, but you ended it provisionally. God said walk away from that business deal. But let's keep this one part of it because this part is good. God said, walk away. And you helped on to the part that worked for you. See, I know all this Amalekites and Kishites and all that. And you're like, yeah, that's them. I don't know how they did that. So I want to make it fit your everyday life. Okay. God said, walk away. And you kind of did it. God said, leave that job. But you decided to stay for 6 more months. All I'm, because you get your retirement and your benefits package. And so if I leave before that, I lose that. So let me just obey God with a twist. I'm trying to show us what God is showing me about their reasons why I haven't answered all your prayers the way you've asked me to, because you've provisionally obeyed me. You've obeyed me with a twist. You put a little thing in there that made it work for you, and you came up with a logic that made it work. The problem is now it works, but he won't. So when the it runs out, you are stuck with the you. I can't hear you saying amen, but I'm sure you should be right about there. So I'm looking at this total obedience thing, this total obedience package. How does that work? God, I can walk me through the valley of disobedience that I've been functioning in so that we can make these corrections, please. I know I'm kind of jumping to the end of my message, but let's just throw that in there right now and as a seasoning. Let's just get that in there. God, show the house to the house. Walk me through the places where I, quote unquote, you know, when I helped you, you know, Lord, I was doing that for you thing. You know what I'm saying? Walk me through that. Because I know where I did what I did because I felt it was better to do it my way than yours. Let's keep going. But we're not talking about Saul right now. We're talking about you. So, verse 10, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I regret making Saul king, for he has turned his back on following me and has not performed my commandments. I don't want the Lord ever to regret choosing me. And I'm sure in my life, I've made him have to feel that way. And I know, but Jesus is Lord and the grace of God. Okay, we're not talking about that right now. Yes, the grace of God is ours and the love of the Lord keeps us and we got this salvation through Jesus. Hallelujah. But for a task that he's called us to, we can make him regret picking us and make him have to pick somebody else. Let's not get it twisted. We're not talking about your salvation now. We're talking about why are things that we've been believing God for with all our heart, oh, Jesus, not working. This was my prayer and cry to God. Okay, God, but there's things that I, you know, and he said, okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And he walked me through this. So now I walk you through this, because if I got to go through it, you got to go through it. So here we go. And I hope it's a blessing to you. So God now regrets that he made this man a king. He has to go before him and grieved me angrily. And he cried to the Lord all night. So Samuel rose in the morning early to meet Saul in the morning. He was told Saul came on camel and behold, he set up for himself a monument and a trophy of his victory and passed on and went down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed what the Lord has ordered. So now he coming in and he trying to blow smoke up the pastor's booty. See, blessed are you, almighty man of God. I did exactly what God told me to do. And Samuel said, what then means the bleating of sheep in my ear and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? Are you with me in the story? They weren't supposed to bring any of the stuff back. He's coming back. Blessings and salutations, almighty man of God. I've done what God says to them. Why do I hear in my ear or in my spirit sheep and an oxen making whatever kind of noise they make? Why am I hearing this? And Saul said, in his opinion of obedience, come on, saints, stay with me. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord. OMG. I did it for you, Jesus. I did it for you, Lord. He didn't ask you for that. No. I got to put my Bible down just for 2 seconds. You know those unasked for things that you try to give God and you think he should appreciate them because you decided to give it to him? You know those things you think God should bless you for, and you think he owes you a blessing because you paid this much and you did that, and God said, yeah, but this time I asked you to do that. I used a story one time in the past. I won't go through the whole thing again, but God told me to give somebody a number. It was $5.25, whatever it was, and I didn't want to do that because that didn't feel right. That's a chunk change of how I look giving them that kind of thing. And I obeyed God. And you'll remember the story. Some of you probably do not. But I obeyed God, even though my flesh didn't want to. And I gave him the 525 or whatever it was. And he stopped crying, saying it confirmed the scripture God had him standing on. Chapter 5, verse 25. For them, where if I had went out my way and did my thing, I would have missed God. I could at least give him $50, $100. Why don't we give him $5.25? No, who's going to write a check for that? But God wants obedience. And God wanted to use that to speak to that person. And it spoke to them louder than if I had given them $1,000, because it confirmed their faith instead of me being Mr. Big Shot giving them what I wanted to give them. So it was pride that wanted to disobey, not the leading of the Spirit. It was a pride. But I could do better, God, than what you said. Oh, can you really? So he said, listen, I did this for the Lord. I did this for the Lord. I did this for the Lord. I spared the best stuff. Now listen to this. Then Samuel said to Saul, stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me tonight. Saul said to him, stay on. I guess he's still feeling pretty good. I did good by God. Verse 17, Samuel said, when you were small in your own sight, when you were not made the head of tribes of Israel, the Lord anointed you king of Israel. Saints, look at me. And listen to what I'm about to say. Remember when you were small in your own sight? Remember when you didn't even have that faith that the Lord provides and the Lord takes care? Remember when you wasn't so spiritual as you are today? Wink, wink. Remember when you didn't know as much as you think you know right now? When it was nothing but you and Jesus because you had nothing else? Now you done got your apartment, you done got your car, you done got your house, you done got your things, you done achieved some things, you done got your degrees, you done got your whatevers. And now you think that you can kind of dictate to God the flow of your life because you know what he's done so far. Not picking on you, not trying to beat you up, to make you open your eyes and see because you've seen how he's moved so far. So if he's going to move any further, it absolutely has to be what he's done so far. And you start to lock God into your moves. And you start to spare things that God tells you to get rid of. You start to keep things that you shouldn't be keeping. You start to keep relationships that God told you to end. Or people I know right now, you know, there's a part of you getting real, real, real tight. You know, your bowels are squeezing right now. But I'm telling you right now, these are the things that God began to show me. This is where you miss me. Because you get to that place that you become so confident. Remember when you was nothing even in your own mind? And then I got a hold of you and I gave you a faith and I gave you a confidence. I gave you ability to believe. I gave you a trust. You said, spoke words and I moved on your behalf and you saw that. And so now you're flipping the script where you're dictating the flow. Just a little disobedience, not a lot, just a little. But God said, but I told you something specific to do. But I'm bringing these sheep back so we can worship the Lord with them. Did he ask you for it? Okay. So let's read that again. Samuel said, when you were small in your own sight, when you were not made yet the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you, didn't the Lord not anoint you the king over Israel? Don't show his answer yet. Yes. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, fight against them until they were consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of and did evil in the sight of the Lord? So the Lord's beginning to show me that certain things, are you listening to me? That certain things are not oversights. They're our decision to do what seems right to us. Yes, there is a happy ending. We can be restored from that and we will pray. But I just want to make sure that we're all here like in this AA acknowledging, yes, I have sinned against you, Lord, and you only, and I need to turn. I need to stop giving you half service or giving you the service I choose to give you and do what I know in my heart is right before you. Not what's right before me, but you. Wherever God right now, I'm telling you, check yourself. Let's get it done. But the people took sheep and oxen and the chief of things to be utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord God in Gilgal. Samuel said, the Lord has great, let me read this. I'm going to put my brain into it and just read what's here. Samuel said, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience, in obeying the voice of the Lord? Does the Lord, the King James says, the Lord does not have pleasure in sacrifices and burnt offerings, but in obedience. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifices, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So before I read this next verse, as you consider all the things you surrendered for God or given up for God and all the good things you think you're doing for God, nobody's taken from that stuff. But God's saying to you, he's not even saying, I don't like that stuff. He's saying, I have a preference. And my preference is your obedience over everything you sacrificed. Now, this fits the church real huge right now, because especially a lot of the church, and of course, you guys are not from that have sat under me for a while. But, you know, people, I go through suffering, and go to sickness, and I go through disease, and I go through hard times, but I just keep loving Jesus. And they think that's their sacrifice. When a lot of times what they're going through is their lack of obedience that is bringing this calamity on them. And they've decided that it's an offering to bring back to God, to show God their commitment to him. And God is like, I could care less about how well you handled your sickness or disease. I care more about you obeying my instruction so that you don't have to go through so many things that you go through. This is a challenge for me, because I've walked with God and I know what has worked. So I try to hold God to what has worked. And sometimes I miss out on obedience because I choose to hold God to what I believe works. So I find myself collecting things that God said, do not. Throw that away. Don't keep that. End that relationship. But it's okay. End that relationship. And then time goes on and things are not going well around me. And I say, God, what happened? He said, did I not tell you to stop that friendship? End it. You did. Yeah, but okay, well, then you're gonna have to live with that. That's the rejection of your prayer in that area. Because in that area, it's still not mine. It's the decisions. You caught that? Once you give that decision against God's instruction, that God has no power in that area. That area belongs to that decision. And until we correct that decision, God is limited or locked out of that area. That position, that relationship, that whatever thing you've taken as a substitute has the power now that God would have had if you had obeyed. Told you was pretty serious today. So God said, I don't want that stuff. The Lord has not delighted in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better, far better than sacrifices. And to hearken, remember we went to hearken, hear and do, right? Than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. So, idolatry is, you know, good luck charms, your horoscope, you know, all of these charms and things that we have that are not God, but they are. Somebody said to me the other day, you're Capricorn, right? It used to be. What do you mean you used to be? Before I got born again, I followed, and this was a Christian, by the way, but when I followed occult practices and didn't know it, yeah, I was a Capricorn. But, you know, no, I'm not now. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but still you were born. I mean, okay. First of all, you're a jerk. Second of all, if you really want to try to hold me to date of birth and try to make me a Capricorn, I got born again. So you got to find the date that I was born again and then realign my horoscope to go with my new born again date. I don't remember that date, neither do you. So can we just leave that mess alone? Thank you very much. So just something to throw at people when they try to go at you with that mess. But let's go back to this. For rebellion, God called it rebellion. It is what it is. You didn't obey me, you rebelled. Is the same to God as you being a witch. And stubbornness, boy, do I have to deal with stubbornness as a pastor, is no different than you having talismans and being into lucky charms over God. Again, anything that takes that place, God is out. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned and I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord. And your words are because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. People pleasing. I didn't follow God because I didn't want people to say bad thing about me. I didn't want them to look at me wrong. You know, I've kept the relationship with that person because God, I didn't want people to say to me, I'm a bad friend. I didn't, come on, can we have this conversation? You know, I was concerned about how the community would look at me if I did it like that, what my family would say. You know, it's a family tradition. You know, you gotta love them and keep them around you anyway. But what did God tell you to do? God said, separate myself from them. So why? Well, because of my cousin and my mother said, right? I feared what the people said. And he, he's acknowledging, I've sinned and transgressed against the commandments of the Lord's words because I feared what people would say. I was concerned about their voice. Now I pray you pardon my sin and go back with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has both rejected you from being the king of Israel. Bam. It's been great talking to you today. No, I'm just kidding. It was okay. Have a blessed week. Selah. So here's my request, my plea to everybody online and everybody watching me today. Let God walk you back to the path of where things are not going the way he promised or you thought they should. Because the difference is now you have Christ and you can be redeemed and you can be restored. But you still have to walk back through the path of, Lord, where have I rejected you? And where have I become disobedient? Or where have I altered your instruction to fit my need or my desire? Show me that I can be restored to that place. Because we all say we're kings in the kingdom of God and we're queens. But as we see here, that kind of disobedience, that kind of that type of provisional obedience can block you out. Keep you off your throne, baby. It will keep you right out of the kingdom. Not eternal life. We're not talking about that right now. We're just talking about this life right here. I submit to all of us today that wherever we feel stuck, we can go back to Daddy. We can say, Lord, is there somewhere where I've sinned against you, or I've disobeyed you, or I semi-disobeyed you, which is still the same as disobedience. For disobedience is at the sin of witchcraft. And he cares for obedience over sacrifice. And I think we spend a lot of our life dealing with sacrifice, what I've done for the Lord, what I surrender for the Lord, what I'll do for the Lord, what, you know, where I'll go for the Lord, and I'll talk if you want me. And he's like, yeah, but I need you in these places that you're not being obedient to go back and check them. I need you to end the relationships I told you to end. I need you to try to mend. Yeah, but that person's never going to receive me. But I didn't tell you to base it on that. You're still now trying to base that on the spoils that you get to collect. This is not about what you get to collect. This is about you being obedient to me. I need you to go back before the throne and ask the Lord in every and any area, where have I disobeyed you? Where have I substituted you for another God? Where have I put something else in the place of your hand and your love and your provision? Sometimes even finding the love or looking for love of another makes you numb to and disqualified for receiving the love of God you're seeking. Not that he doesn't love you. It just disqualifies you from stepping into it because you put somebody else in that place. Or I know I'm telling the truth right here today. So God said to me, son, I want you to walk with me. Look, we don't have to go ask Samuel to do it. We can go straight to God and walk with me to where I've walked away from you, or to the places. Because we think walking away from God is this whole overall, I just blasphemed and I just backslid and I just totally turned away from God. But it could sometimes just be in that area and that area and that area. And those areas are stopped up and they won't flow. And we go back, and we fix them with his hand in our hand. And immediately the flow comes rushing through. So I surrender and submit to you today. Me and Daddy's on a journey to go back and say, if there's any place that I've disobeyed or missed you, that I may repent, and that I may be restored. Father, I come on behalf of everybody here today listening to the sound of my voice and those who will listen later. Search our hearts if there be any unclean thing in us. Search us, Lord God, and show us where we, even in the smallest area, even thinking we were doing it to the glory of your kingdom and for your goodness, but have disobeyed you and done what we wanted to do. Help us. You know our frailties. You came in the form of a man so that you could understand and feel our weaknesses and our pains. And so, Jesus, you know. And Father, you know what our frailties are. And you had compassion for us and you healed the multitudes. So we come to you today and say, have compassion on us. Show us, give us the opportunity not to just repent in general like we like to do. Lord, if there's any sin, that's a similar thing to us saying, well, if I've offended you in any way, I'm sorry. It's no specifics. Father, show us specifically where we've offended, where we've transgressed, where we went against you intentionally. Show us that we may repent, we may return, we may hearken, we may heed. And we decide today to be purified by the cleansing of your word and by the washing of the water of your word. And we come to you with a contrite heart. Teach us the way to truth. And we accept it and receive it and we repent. In the name of our Savior, Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we repent. We love you and we pray in his holy name. Amen. And amen. I hope you were blessed today. I hope you received something that you can take with you. I'll keep you in touch with my journey as God reveals. and I'll share with you what God gives me the liberty to share. Me, I'm good to share anything. I'm telling myself all the time, I have no problem with that. But if it helps you, I'll tell on myself. But anyway, God's grace and peace and blessings be to you. Miss you guys there. I've been here like every week just about for the past month. And I'll be back soon. Love you. God's blessings.